Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
We're standing at the threshold.
Exactly. Trust your inner guidance. Hello, 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 hello. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is me, Sasha Sugar. I've missed you guys all so, so much. I know you've missed me too, because I hadn't had a show in a while. And thanks to these beautiful human beings that are in my studio today, which I will introduce in a second, I've decided to do another show, a special today on this special, unique gateway date of 11/11 of 2018, which is also gives us a number of 11 if you combine all the digits, 2 plus 1 plus 8 and plus 0. Exactly, it's 11. So today is a really magical number. Today is a really magical day. And today's guest just really, I wouldn't say convince me to do a show, but they helped me to make the right decision. Let me put it this way. So without long ado, I'm happily introducing Dina Devine and Danielle Michael, the two twin flames and beautiful bridges between metaphysics and parapsychology, two beautiful human beings that help others to elevate their higher selves, to help others to bring up their highest energies and to transform to the best potential they can possibly have. Woohoo! Daniel and Dina, you can now say a word and I'll test your mics.
Hi, everyone. I'm super excited to be here, Sasha. Thank you for having us on your show. This is a magical day, like you said, high vibrational and very important portal. So we're more than excited to be here and thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. I'm happy. I'm really glad to have you.
Hi, Sasha. This is Daniel. Thank you so much for having us. Amazing experience. And whereas we're ushering into an age of dimensionality and moving and evolving out of this age of spirituality that so many of us have been accustomed to. And little what we do is help orient people into this next phase of dimensionality.
Thanks, Daniel. Yeah, so Daniel and Nina don't really like to be called healers. So these people are quite unusual on my show because most of my guests are healers, and Daniel and Nina are a new wave or a new level, a new dimension, the next step of healing. These two people actually facilitate entering a new dimension of your spiritual growth. Just a fun fact, right before the show, Daniel and Dina, they came over my place and they did an amazing session where I sat in this pyramid with Anten, and they did this alignment of my soul, of my high energy. And I guess that's how I was able to actually drag myself out of the bed and out of the apartment and come to the studio in Brooklyn and do the show. So this shit is real. Let me tell you that. Well, let's talk a little bit about today's date. It is 11-11 of 2018. So why is it so special? I know there is some symbolics in the digits, but could you give us a little bit of more background? Why this day is so special and why we all should pay attention to it and should try to align ourselves to its highest potential and its highest vibration?
Well, 11-11.
And it's so funny, just guys, because you don't watch these two people, but they're just like looking at each other. Oh, so do you want to go first? Do you want to go first? There's also, you know, marriage dynamic happening.
Yeah,
it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we both have a lot to add. So we dance the dance as the feminine and divine masculine, hence the twin flame relationship, where both of us are on this journey together and we add our gifts. So it is that weaving that's happening. And actually, it really correlates to the 11-11 because 11 is a binary number. So it has to do with this twin flame energy. There is the marriage that happens. For a lot of people who are on the spiritual journey, is probably 11-11 is something that came into the life. It represents synchronicity, represent insight, intuition. All of a sudden, your clocks show 11-11, and that's how you know, oh wow, I'm in a divine flow. It's like getting that little nudge from your guides, from your higher self.
I'm not joking. Right when we sat in the car from my apartment to head to Brooklyn, to the Radio Free Brooklyn, we looked at the iPhone, and I should have given an advertisement to iPhones, but okay, I looked at my Google Pixel 2 and I saw 11-11 on it. So again, 11-11 on 11-11 of 2018, which is 11.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, this year, why is it more special than possibly other years? Well, we have been in this process of awakening and ascension, and this process actually happened 7 years ago. If you can think of where you were on 11-11 in 2011, what has happened to you on that day? So we are in a 7-year cycle. You know, 2012 was around the corner. According to the Mayan calendar, that was the end of the beginning of the awakening of the age of New Aquarius. And then 7 years into it, we are in 2018. If you calculate the numbers of 2018, it's the master year. So even more so, what's happening in an astrological sense, we are in alignment to the galactic center. We are literally in the photon belt of light, crystalline light, diamond light, that helps us to actually go through this process of awakening. The earth itself is awakening. The Schumann resonance, as a lot of people might know, not know, it's the vibration of the earth has been rising tremendously in the last few years. It's vibrating like at 40, 50 hertz sometimes. And at the same time, our collective consciousness is experiencing a shift as well. So all of this coming together. And then actually, if you do 11 plus 11 plus 11, it's 33. 33 is also a master number.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's the age of Jesus.
It is the age of Jesus. It's all about Christ consciousness. You said it, girl. It's all about the Christ consciousness. It's about being the healer, the master, the humanitarian. So this is the day we're in.
When I said Jesus, Daniel kind of like... I'm not sure if I want the conversation to go into that direction.
No, actually.
But guys, if you're washing the dishes right now, or if you are having a brunch, stop it immediately and first think, what were you doing on this date? What is it?
7 years.
7 years ago. Okay? And now think of where you want to be in the next 7 years on this date. And maybe today is... And a special today is the perfect day to set those intentions, especially with these two amazing people that are in Radio Free Brooklyn studio. So really, I'm not kidding. This is very important. So spend some time with yourself and think what you want to be in 7 years. Today's the day to set those intentions. All right.
So I was only laughing because I didn't really believe in Jesus until a couple of years ago. And I was in a psychic fair or one of these psychic events, and I'm sitting in like the third or fourth row and just kind of minding my own business, and there's 300 people in the room, and this clairvoyant or medium, she points directly at me and goes, "This never happens, but Jesus is with you." And I'm like kind of giggling to myself, and she's so serious about it, and then I go, "Oh, Christ consciousness." And something mm-hmm. strange started happening a couple of years ago. I've never been really a religious person. Most of my beliefs are really Buddhist in nature. But I can pick up scripture now, and I can pick up a Bible or a Torah, and I can tell you exactly how to interpret it and what it means. So one of my mentors said something really interesting when I was about 18 years old, and I guess 21 years ago. And I was sitting in a little classroom in Brooklyn, and with 20 or 30 actually African priests studying, and I'm not an African priest; I'm just a student. And he said, "There aren't enough seconds in life for me to teach you everything that you need to know." And everyone just looked around the room and asked me to clarify on that. And he said, "No," he said, "You'll either get it or you won't get it." And he goes,
"Did you get it?"
Oh, I got it. Eventually, I got it, because as you travel on this path of dimensionality, and as you step into your being, and as you choose to be yourself, and you stop looking for yourself like most people do, most people spend their whole lives looking at themselves, you literally start to understand and download things that you normally wouldn't have had access to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have access to all of this information in this field of energy around us that we're just not simply not tuned into.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking earlier, your session earlier today, we brought a copper pyramid. And I'm much more of a researcher than a healer or a metaphysician, and delve much more into parapsychology. Kind of at the crossroads of metaphysics and parapsychology. I play with tons of scientific equipment and building bridges and case studies and framework to where the two worlds meet, working with medical doctors as well to create case studies of how to calibrate people versus heal people. So back to that original statement.
Right. Okay. I just want to emphasize that both Daniel and Dina, they're not your typical healers, again, because I feel, and I'm looking back at my experience, I've spent so much time trying to heal myself and heal myself and heal myself. And I just feel like it's been on the loop. Yes, I need to heal myself. I need to heal myself. I need to heal myself. It's all about healing, healing, healing. But nothing was really changing my life. So these two people help you to go beyond the healing and to actually activate your immediate potential by tapping into your higher self. This is very important. So pay attention to this. Okay. Going back to
And you. Maybe, Daniel, you can talk a little more about calibration, because I don't know if everyone knows what that exactly means. I know, Sasha, you asked that question earlier.
Absolutely. I'd love to go into that. And we'll go back to the concept of Christ consciousness first, or even Buddha consciousness, as you know, many people practice Buddhism. The concept of enlightenment is a lot simpler and a lot more destructive than people realize. It's not unicorns and rainbow poop, as I like to say. It's really a destructive process where you have to unlearn everything that you think you know and everything you've learned in order to step into your mastery to be the biggest, brightest version of yourself that you can be. And as you step into your being, you learn that you spend most of your life looking for yourself. But eventually you come to a point, and this may be the most important thing I say to you today, is you were never lost in the first place. It's your responsibility to create yourself in every moment, in every conversation, in every action, in every smile you make to a stranger on the street, and treat everything as sacred. Everything is sacred. All life, all relationships, all agreements, all boundaries.
And with sacred, I also wanted to say that sacredness is a lot that Daniel and I bring into our life, in terms of, you know, Sasha was asking us, what do we do in our lives? And we kind of dance the dance. We have corporate jobs, and we have kids, and we try to manage it on a daily basis in a daily moment. But even, you know, as I am in my corporate meeting, it's all about how I relate to the other person. And for me, that's sacred. Do I come to that person from a place of open heart and compassion? Or am I, you know, experiencing the other emotions that most people mm-hmm. do at work, environment, stress, and frustration? So, and that's the way to test yourself. Right. Are you completely sacred with yourself? Are you having this, mm-hmm. that full self-compassion towards yourself that day and to the person you relate into, whether it's in a corporate environment or, you know, homeless on the street or anyone who might have triggered you on the way to work? And then you kind of mm-hmm. jump into, you know, a bit of that negative energy, and then you can shift and pivot and catch yourself that, wait a second.
Yeah.
Is that worth my time right now? I was feeling joyful. I was feeling happy a moment ago, and now I'm feeling this. So that's also a level of sacredness that Daniel and I practice and teach others, how to recognize and catch yourself. That awareness is really the key in creating that sacred moment.
And this is a very important point that you're making here, connection between your spiritual work and your day-to-day life. I feel that a lot of this awakening processes talk only about, you know, go meditate, learn about yourself, go on a retreat, go to Tibet, go to Vipassana. And I've kind of done all these things. But then the real work starts in this real life, because spiritual world and physical world, they're not that, they intertwine. And often we don't know how to bring those two together. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for actually mentioning that you try to bring the sacredness into absolutely every situation and absolutely every moment, regardless of whether you're in Mexico, yoga retreat, or in a traffic in Manhattan. I think that's where the true spirituality starts.
Yeah, I mean, you have that perspective, but that's the ultimate test. And I think it takes that kind of practice. It's like going to the gym and lifting weights until you get those perfect biceps. I talk about the spiritual biceps, that as we catch ourselves and practice, we able to create those sacred moments in our daily life.
I think one of the most important discernments of how I got here was the realization that I felt things deeply. And I guess I would be considered an empath, and many people listening know that term, and they feel things deeply, and they go into public spaces and they can't stay there, and they can't be in public crowds for long periods of time. And over a period of time, I got tired of that and kept asking those questions, why? And I put myself in more and more of those situations, and they were very uncomfortable. And I sat in uncomfortableness, in silence, until I started to understand what it was. And through a period of time, I learned, the most important thing I learned was boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first things I teach a lot of my clients is boundaries. Boundaries aren't just a word in the sand. Boundaries are actual agreements, both with yourself, with the world, with the universe, with God, energetic, with your partner, and everything else in between. And when you learn to set your boundaries properly and you don't cross your own boundaries, then the world outside no longer affects you. You affect the world, and you have the cumulative power to be in the world as yourself and share yourself with the world, rather than allowing the world to affect you, distract you, or potentially, you know, take you off of your center.
So let's imagine a person who is listening to the show is just thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much information happening. So where do I start? Where do I start this attunement? Where do I start to develop this Christ consciousness? Where do I start to set the boundaries? Like, how do I start? What would be your advice to that person?
Baby steps. But, you know, baby steps, even the conversation that we're having right now, the discussion that we're having right now, is seeding ideas and information into your consciousness and into your field of possibilities and potentialities that exist. And we move back to the original conversation. We went on a slight tangent about calibration. We live in a world that, you know, we're born into a world that we immediately observe people being sick and being ill and dying around us, and it creates these traumas, and it becomes our reality, and we come to expect that, and we build that around us. So then when we get ill at some point, we start trying to heal ourselves. We see doctors, we see psychics, we see, you know, Eastern, Western, it doesn't matter. But we keep trying harder and harder to heal ourselves, and we throw more and more money at it, more and more time at it. We go on more and more retreats. The harder we try, the harder we try. But the key to stepping into your mastery and to stepping into your power is learning to be, not trying. The harder you try, the harder you always try. So calibrating is learning to blend or tune out of trying to do something, trying to be a certain way, into actually being that way. And that takes practice. It's building this dimensional muscle that we're talking about.
And a good metaphor that I was mentioning to you, Sasha, earlier today, if you can think of it like a radio, since we are on the radio, and there's different channels and there's static in between. So essentially the tuning is the ability of switching that knob. So as you are in that static mode, you're able to tune your body, tune your psyche, your consciousness to the next channel. And you're able to receive information, and that information comes sometimes from other dimensions. So it's really about listening and really having that transmitter, which is your pineal gland, your third eye, being decalcified and open. So whether it's through meditation or other practices, I teach dance of liberation, which is a blindfolded ecstatic dance. And it's meditation and movement. Not everyone can sit in a cushion. I actually believe that the best way to reach your dimensionality is to move, is to increase your brain waves. So often enough, we kind of in a static mode. But when we start moving around, and we consciously doing it with an intention. So we do like a medicine dance, come into it for a purpose in a collective environment, and taking away the eyesight and kind of tuning in within, we're able to connect to the higher realms. And the brainwaves start changing to gamma waves. So it's a higher frequency. The hertz is 32 and above. And that's when we become multidimensional. All of a sudden, our perceptions are much more heightened. You can hear something that's across the room. You are paying attention to little things all simultaneously. That's the new human that we are creating right now. This new human is multidimensional, is super aware, and able to be at the same time in many spaces, so to speak, connected fully to their higher selves and themselves. And that sounds really a little perhaps overwhelming for some people, but
I'm pretty sure it sounds overwhelming.
So it can be overwhelming.
But I just kind of wanted to take a quick step back and actually focus on what Daniel just said, that before you get into those, you know, multi dimensions and that complete awareness, start from just being.
Let me start with that. And the root cause of almost all of the conflict we have right now on the planet is really simple. And it's also the first steps towards towards taking your first steps into dimensionality. It's lack of self-love. For the majority of the world, we've somehow have been taught, or we think that loving ourselves is a selfish act. But you'll find that if you look around at the happiest people, as an example, and that's actually how I got here, because I wasn't always a happy person. I was a quite unhappy person. And
really?
I was
never able to tell that.
Of course not. But I was a quite unhappy person. I started in the corporate world. I was very successful in the corporate world. I had made some money. I had some toys. And I woke up one day and I started asking why I felt this way. And I just kept asking that question. And I started looking around at people that weren't this way and started asking those questions of them. And came to the conclusion and have replicated and duplicated this experientially with many of people that it comes down to that simple concept of self-love. And you can't really love other people. You can't even understand what love is. I mean, people like to use the term unconditional love freely, like they understand what it actually means. But you really can't love anybody else until you love yourself first and you love yourself unconditionally. And the easiest way to start is to start looking in the mirror every day, and it'll be challenging and it's difficult. And every morning, just tell yourself, I love you. I love you. I love you. And over a period of time, what'll happen is you move from the state of, wait, this is bullshit, excuse my language, to wait a minute, I really do love myself, and I'm really good, and I'm in my integrity, and I really do want to make a difference, and I am making a difference, and I'm holding space for all of these people, and I really am helping all of these people, and I really now I actually understand that I really do love all these people, and it becomes easier and easier to be compassionate to people when you actually understand they're doing the best they can at their current level of consciousness. And now, what does that actually mean? You're walking down the street and you get hit in the leg with a soccer ball, and you go, ouch, and you start getting mad, and you turn around to see where it came from, and you're about to like yell, and you look and you see it's a 10-year-old boy, and he has autism, and you realize he either did it by accident or he couldn't help himself, and you get mad at yourself for being mad in the first place. And that's the state of consciousness that the whole world is operating in right now. They don't love themselves. Therefore, they're trying to control everyone else to feel significant. And they're just like that child. And you can't be upset with them. You can't be mad with them because they really just don't know any better, or they're essentially ill. And when you reframe the actions or the behaviors of people who have not actualized or realized their own self-love, then your expectations of people, of people who have not reached that point, become realistic.
How would you describe self-love, of how would you define, or what are the ingredients of self-love? Because I feel that some people, a lot of people hear about it, a lot of people talk about self-love, but what does it actually mean? It's not just acceptance. It's not just feeling good about yourself. Like, what is it? If you were to write a guidance book on how to love yourself, what would you include there?
I mean, for me, it always goes back to, why am I here to begin with? You know, recognition of the fact there's the, you know, the body, the physical body in this density. There's the mind that's thinking, and there's the spirit, the soul that came into this reality for a purpose, for some sort of destiny. And a lot of us are here for a reason. We kind of all volunteered to be here at this time. So self-love is really perhaps digging deeper into understanding of who we are. And for me, it's that divine spark that we all have, the recognition of the goddess within, or the God within. And you, Sasha, and I, in June, went to this beautiful gathering called Goddess Gathering, where the women would gather together and just celebrate each other. So it's about celebrating who we are and the potential of us. So, you know, there's different ways of practicing that, right? In this beautiful festival, we embodied different goddesses. We became Athena and Isis and this and that. But why even embody that huge concept? It's just to really bring it down to this physical reality, that we have a tremendous potential, that we are more than our 9-to-5 jobs and what we've been told and conditioned since our childhood, that we cannot do certain things, that we actually are very powerful. And I think the ultimate self-love is recognition of the power, the fact that we can create our own reality, that we can manifest, we can have the right things coming into our life, whether it's the right job, the friends that we want to attract. So as we change our environment, starts changing around us, and it shifts. So that kind of self-love, mm-hmm, is, I feel, is a self-evolving thing.
Mm-hmm. I still feel that in your description of self-love, there's a lot of actions and thinking and doing something in order to love yourself. And to me personally, I start to realize that loving yourself starts when you just allow yourself to be, instead of just doing, accomplishing, trying, even if it's
absolutely
in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely.
You just have to sometimes give yourself a break and just be and enjoy that being.
Oh, absolutely. And today is a special day. It's all about timelessness, actually. It's about zero point. And zero point is that space and time where nothing is happening. It's the void. Because we always, like you said, running around, because we're in the world of duality, where we always try, it's a plus and a minus, and we're trying to create, you know, time equals art in this world of duality. In the void, it's zero point. We just are, right? So
I like to think of it this way. Love is an orientation. It's a direction, kind of like a clock pointing to 12. When you're in a happy, joyful, peaceful state, you're pointed to 12. And then you feel connected to everything. Doesn't matter how you got there. Doesn't matter how you got to that happy state. Even if you artificially got to it, you're in it. And you feel connected to everything. And you're oriented towards love. So when you feel connected to everything, you're connected to the universe. You're connected to God. You're connected to everyone at 12. Then when you're not connected, when you're feeling what you're feeling and you're really down there, you're at 6 o'clock, you're disconnected. So your orientation, your direction is literally just the wrong way. And see how easy it is to move between those directions. When you play with it long enough, you can move in and out of those directions and those orientations. And when you catch yourself pointed in the wrong direction, when you're in your slumps, when someone bumps into you, when you get angry, when you get a little bit upset and you catch yourself, then you just move quickly back into a really happy state and a really joyful state. and you're able to reorient yourself or redirect yourself or recalibrate, however you would like to phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
Retune.
So are you saying that all the negative or sad emotions and feelings that humans are experiencing are indicator that we are separated from the oneness, from the God, from the universe?
It's an interesting loaded question. As an empath, as a trained empath, I have clients that hire me just to train them. And a lot of times, and yes, I'll say this out loud, a lot of times the feelings that you're feeling, a lot of the negative feelings, if they aren't directly related to some past event and you're in a space with other people, it's other people's stuff that's going on. And it's because people have loose energetic boundaries, because a lot of people don't even know that they're supposed to have energetic boundaries. Nobody came along. Our society isn't developed enough. It's not taught in school. It's not part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, up until this point, just been the stuff that's talked at parties and in the shadows, because it sounds kind of crazy. But experientially, you can, in 5 minutes or less, you can shift somebody completely out of that state, and not in a Freudian coping way, more in a Jungian being way, in the stages of conscious and unconscious comprehension, to move from one place to another.
I think we should educate our listeners on how to actually do it with some tools. So let's talk a little bit about the actual work that the two of you are doing in the outside of there, talking on the radio show. What kind of tools do you use? What kind of workshops, meditations? Do you guys work together separately? Yeah, if you could give us a bit of the details on that, that would be very helpful.
Sure. I've mentioned Dance of Liberation, and that's one of the ways that I feel ecstatic dance and dance in general is a wonderful way to move energies. So I've held many workshops, whether at Burning Man or different festivals, and in New York City, that brought different people to dance and set intentions and commitments.
So during those dances, do you have a preliminary meditation where everyone kind of gets in the same energetic field, or
yeah,
just
we do
a bunch of people coming together?
Sure, we do breath work. Breath work is a wonderful way of connecting to yourself, to your heart, so that's how usually I start the class. And then, as of this year, Daniel and I started kind of teaching together, and the way we like to teach is to give a framework and then experiential exercise, whether it's, you know, from boundaries, for instance, it's just to work with another person in the room that they've never met before, and then just kind of test the boundaries and feel the energies of the other person and kind of play with them. A lot of things with energy is about really tinkering and playing and understanding, you know, your perceptions versus the other person's perceptions, and understanding what even boundary, for instance, means, what mm-hmm. energy means. A lot of people are not as sensitive as you guys who are empaths. I would say I'm a cultivated empath. That's something that I became more sensitive to over the years as I've been on this path, versus Daniel, who for him, it's much more natural. So that's, dance is one way. We've also been developing our own tools, and some of them actually go all the way to like ancient Egypt. Daniel can talk more a little bit about it.
Well, I'll take it back a step and talk about the concept of rectilinear vision. So when something comes into your awareness, it's in your awareness. But before it comes into your awareness, it never existed. The best example of this is when I bought a new SUV a couple of years ago. And I never thought I was going to get this particular SUV. So I never really noticed it anywhere. But the day I drove off the lot, all of a sudden I saw them everywhere. And that same realization applies everywhere. You know, it's not that there weren't this particular SUV on the road. I had just never noticed them because they hadn't become in my awareness. Energy works like that as well. The moment that you bring experientially into someone's awareness that this is real and they can feel it, you know, we're not necessarily talking about empirical science yet because we haven't built that complete bridge yet. But if somebody can experience it, and it's real to them, and there's an actual effect and change, then they can use that as a process to continue on. And that's kind of the work that we do and the bridges we build. It's all experiential. And a lot of the tools that we use and the tools that I use are varied. My background is very varied. I do mostly executive consulting for very high level companies, some startup companies, and go in and audit their processes, their systems, and help them find solutions to what's going on in their organizations. And I do a lot of executive and CEO mentoring as well, which incorporates a lot of this that we're talking about as well at a higher level. You know, everything from integrity to accountability. And my personal clients, as an example, we do accountability coaching. We build framework on boundaries and broken down to modules, and they get homework kind of like school. And same thing with the CEOs, they get homework on different aspects and different modules, and it breaks down week by week, and there's just accountability.
And what is the end point or end goal of such workshops when you do those workshops among the CEOs or in corporate world, outside of just raising an awareness and letting them be present? Like, what is the end goal?
Really, that's a really easy answer. It's creation mm-hmm. of that individual. So in this example, it would be creating Sasha. The end goal is giving that person the tools and the techniques and the power and the understanding and the awareness to that they're creating themselves through their actions, mm-hmm. through their choices, through their relationships, through their boundaries, and giving them all of the tools and frameworks necessary to do that.
So this kind of goes not in the opposite direction, but in a slightly different direction from the paradigm that we are born here with a purpose and a very specific purpose. And a lot of people are spending all their life trying to Correct. Find this purpose, traveling, going to workshops, changing jobs, changing partners. What is it my purpose? What is my purpose? Praying, Jesus, Buddha, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? I'm not going to be happy until I find my purpose. So are you saying that creation of yourself is your purpose?
Correct. It's really simple. If you want to get present at any given moment, just say out loud to yourself, I am here, and watch how present that brings you. That's a perfect example of a tool. It's something simple. So a lot of what I do is ontological, you know, which is study of being, not to be confused with oncology. ontology, study of being. So when you declare, I am here, you become present, just like if you wiggle your toes. But practice, whatever your practice is, if you don't have a practice, then you can't be present. If your practice is, I am here in the morning three times and just grabbing your arm while you're saying it, or doing 5 minutes of yoga and or running around the block three times, that's a practice. You can't be present unless you have a practice and you have an active type of practice that you can go back to once you are aware that you've lost your presence. Yeah. Practice of any kind promotes presence. Presence gives you the ability to be both you, to be you, to step into your mastery and to be in this world, as well as to be with people.
So practice creates presence. Practice creates a sense of presence. And the sense of presence allows you to be in this world, to be with yourself and to be with others.
Absolutely.
I just kind of want to meditate on that.
Well,
I know.
I don't like the word meditate. I'm kind of a little to the left. I like modulation. I would modulate on that, which is the same thing.
Let's throw in more unknown terms.
Well, that's what we're here. We're moving into a new age. We're moving out of the paganistic, shamanistic, spiritual world, and we're just elevating ourselves slightly higher, a notch higher, to this dimensional world where we just have more. When we say dimensional, what does that even mean, right? We just have more aspects to play with, more tools to play with. So instead of just our spirit, we're playing with ourself, we're playing with higher aspects of consciousness.
And the universe likes trickstery. The universe likes when you play. And
the universe is so playful.
The more playful you are, the sillier you are. I mean, I have a 5-year-old, and he always reminds me on a daily basis how important it is to be silly and just play around. There's a purity in that. And universe also likes courage.
Love
so,
it.
You know, it's going beyond the world of fear into the world of possibilities, and having the courage to explore, yourself deeper within, and having courage to explore what's out beyond you. But in a trickstery, playful way, I think a lot of us are so serious, you know.
Spiritual snobbery at its finest. You know,
yeah, I love that. Spiritual snobbery.
It's true. Like,
it's so true. Yeah.
Look, spiritual snobbery, like you, a lot of people who claim to be spiritual, they walk into a space, they walk into a room, and they feel something uncomfortable, or they move near somebody that has a negative vibe. And they run away from them like they're the plague. And, you know, and that spiritual snobbery is finest. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, once you understand what's actually going on, you have the power to walk up right to that person and shift them and be courageous about it and really just change, to give that person the tools they need to be whoever they want to be. Not who you want them to be, but just... If they're in that state and you're sensing that state and you run away from it, then that's not courageous. That's spiritual snobbery. But if you walk up to that person and you just say hi and smile, then watch how quickly they change out of that state. They're not even aware they're in that state most of the time. anybody who's in that negative state is not aware they're in their state. Because if they knew that they had a choice
to
choose,
they would get out of it as soon as possible.
So you have the power to give them that choice in any given moment, instead of running away from them, instead walk towards them, give them a hug, introduce yourself, ask them how they're doing, you know, and you just change, you could potentially change that person's life forever. And it becomes another tool in your arsenal to really step into your being and be comfortable when you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think when you're asking the question about self-love, I think it's all about being authentic, no matter where you are. So the more you loving yourself and you connect it to the love, the true meaning of love and the source, then no matter where you are, you're carrying that with you, and people feel it.
Mm-hmm.
They see you glow, and they get attracted to that as well. And you, by your glow, you're actually helping others as well to glow. So we're all in a collective consciousness here. So we're helping each other. We entangle each other, you know, in this experience. And we are creating a new reality. This is the time.
Right. And what is the biggest obstacle to love yourself? Sometimes it is fear. So I wanted,
So fear.
Chat in the car, which I want to bring back to the radio.
Fear is a funny thing, right? And I love to quote Will Smith on this one. Fear is not real. It's imaginary. It's a byproduct of events and things that may or may never come to pass. Danger is real, but fear is imaginary. It's a choice. And those may just sound like words, like fancy words, but it's true. I do training. I've done training with children as young as 6 to adults as young as 40, everything from cliff diving to firewalking, where we simply work on shutting the fear off and learning to ignore the fear. And everything that you want, everything that you desire is really on the other side of that fear. And knowing that is powerful, because when you ignore the fear and you go for it, then you become courageous and the universe supports you even more.
I think with fear, I always think of it as darkness versus light, because we are in this world of duality. So, you know, you walk into the dark room and you have a small candle in your hand and you ignite that candle, all of a sudden the dark room has light, right? So what is darkness really? Darkness, it doesn't exist on its own. It's just absence of light. I feel with fear, it's the same concept. Fear doesn't exist on its own. It's just absence of love. So the more love we infuse into our being, into who we are, fear dissipates.
All right. So you guys, you all take a mirror right now, or your phone, your smartphone, and pull up a camera on it, look at it, and say, I love you. I'm serious. You have 2 seconds to do that. I'm serious. Do it. I love you. Even if you have a pimple on your nose, that's fine. It's going to pass. Or not. But
I love the pimple on my nose.
Oh, I love the pimple on my nose. Okay. Okay, awesome. Wow, this is so great. I know that, Dina, you wanted to do a meditation. How many minutes do you need for it?
Five minutes?
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's do a meditation now, and then we will have a few minutes to finish. All right, guys, take a comfortable seat. And we, on this special day, 11-11 of almost 11, 2018, which is 11, Dina Divine will help you to enter this amazing magical portal of higher self. So make yourself comfortable and let's go on this short journey.
So take this time to get yourself sitting comfortably, or perhaps you walk in and you would just kind of want to stand somewhere or lie down. So we want
to... Vickery, just lie down on the road. Who cares?
Wherever you are, try to find that really still moment within yourself. And take a deep breath. Another deep breath to allow yourself to relax. To relax your body, to relax your muscles, to relax your shoulders and your neck. And the next deep breath, with your mouth open, just exhale anything that's not serving you in your body right now or in your energetic field. Just exhale it out. Send that negativity out. Or perhaps release it all the way down to your feet into the earth. Now I want you to put a hand on your heart. So take a deep breath and connect to your heart center. Feel the connection with your hand. Now I would like you to think of a happy and joyful memory. Perhaps that's something that happened in your childhood, or something bright that just happened recently for you, or even in the last 24 hours. Just think of that memory. I always remember myself as a little girl running and giggling through a grassy field. So find that memory. And as you connect to that memory, feel the feeling of joy. Feel in your heart with that feeling of joy, with a golden light. You have a smile on your face. Your face is relaxed. And now I'd like you to, from your heart, to spread like a balloon, like a sunshine, this feeling of joy through your whole body. Feel in your every cell of your body with that feeling of joy. So this is your divine connection to yourself. You're connected to the sacred space of your heart, where your divine spark is. Your unified male and feminine energy are here. And then take another breath and hold your breath. Igniting that spark in your heart, making it even larger into a flame, golden flame, expanding and expanding even beyond your body, forming an egg shape around your body, filling it all up with this golden, pure, joyful energy of light. And with the next breath, I would like you to send this golden energy down through your feet, through your roots to the core of the Mother Earth. You send in this energy down. With next exhale, you're actually pulling it up back into your body, into your heart, feeling love and support and nourishment of this feminine energy of Mother Earth, igniting the golden sun. So as you're feeling grounded now and supported by the Mother Earth and deeper connection with yourself, we are going to open the doorways to the 1111 gateway. I'd like you to bring your attention and your awareness above your head to the sky, all the way up to the core of the galactic center, up above to through the dimensions, up to 12th dimension. Feel that connection to your higher self. And from there, you're going to shift even higher to 13th dimension and above, to the source energy, the void space, the zero point field of timelessness. Stay there. You can float. This is the origin of your soul template. Breathe in this timeless space and just merge with it. Now, bring that light, the golden crystalline light from your higher self and the source into your body, this alchemical diamond light. Feel on your crown chakra, your heart, running a figure eight horizontally through your body, upgrading your DNA, your current blueprint to the new reality, new dimensional. And at this point, I'll be activating your body, your DNA into the new hologram, the new timeline has opened up for you. And so it is. Blessings on your journey.
Thank you so much, Dina. That was wonderful. We have about 30 seconds left, and I just wanted to let our audience know how they can find you and explore working with you. Guys, these two people are beyond amazing, and we haven't spoken probably even about the half of what they do. They are really true light workers and facilitators of elevating your human experience and this earth. So I think you can find them online on Ripple, Love Ripple Academy.
Love Ripple Academy, yeah, I'm on Instagram, Love Ripple Academy, and loveripple.org is our website. So you can always reach us on Facebook, Dina Divine and Daniel Michael.
Or lightshift.us.
Awesome. I'll also post about you on social media. Thank you so much for being here. And everyone else, please have a blessed Sunday afternoon, and really spend some time today with just with being, with your own being.